thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're on our series of Not Missing Jesus. So the Bible reading tonight is, if you want to turn it up, it's in Luke chapter 7, and we're starting to read from verse 36. So it says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Then he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Simon was the Pharisee that had invited Jesus to his house. And if you can picture the scene, there was a room in Simon's house where the Pharisee leaders had gathered, and they were all there most likely to question Jesus. We heard JT mention it. The Pharisees were a people who were distinguished in themselves. They could see themselves as doing no wrong. They didn't mix with anybody who was sinful or of a sinful nature. Or most likely the Pharisees that were gathered there were there to probably try and catch Jesus out with something he would say, something he would do, something they could hold against him, something that they could use against him. And Jesus himself had said on one occasion that the Pharisees were like a beautiful whitewashed tomb, very beautiful to look at, but on the inside full of dead bones and uncleanliness, and dead men's bones. So they were living a false life in some ways. They looked good, they were doing everything good, they were the ones at the front, well dressed, well turned out, but inside something just was not right. And they were full of pride as well. So when we read our passage tonight, the first thing we notice, none of the usual greeting was there for Jesus whenever he entered someone's house. Whenever you entered someone's house in those times, the first thing you would have had was your feet washed, you would have been anointed with oil, and a welcome of a kiss. But none of this happened. And with regard to that most basic need, the roads were extremely dusty. They were hot and heavy. There's mud, there was dirt, and they most likely wore sandals. So the first thing to make somebody comfortable coming to their house would be to have their feet washed. And this was usually done by the lowliest of person there, the lowest servant that there was. So that didn't happen. And to wash someone's feet when they arrived at your house to not wash somebody's feet when they arrived at your house would actually bring great shame on that family. Not only the host, But the servants, the people who didn't carry it out, would bring shame. And even in not doing this, Simon would have been considered arrogant, like he had no sense to forgive because he was better. So it's a bit different today. If I arrived out at Clive and Sandra's house and they had a bowl of water sitting for me to wash my feet, I don't know how I would take that. But in those days, it went beyond cleanliness. It was a powerful expression of hospitality. It was a way of saying, you're welcome here, make yourself at home. But in reality, Jesus probably already knew what was ahead of him in that room, questioning, watching, to see him try to slip up, to say something. The task was also, as I say, reserved for that lowly servant. And with that lowly servant, there would have been trust on both sides. So I work with feet. That is what I do. And you have to, somebody coming into you, you can automatically tell how nervous they are. They don't want to show you your feet. Oh, my toes are horrible. Oh, don't look at my feet. Oh, I've got this, I've got that. But you know what? To be able to touch somebody's feet and to work with them, usually within 10 minutes, they trust you enough that you know what they're going to do. And half times, I've said this, they fall asleep and they waken up an hour later and they think, is that the time? So there's trust on both sides. There's humbling yourself to be able to do that. And Jesus humbled himself as well to wash his disciples' feet. He placed no level of importance. He humbled himself to that of a servant to wash his disciples' feet. And it's an intimate act of love and just an expression of trust. The greeting of a kiss was a sign of friendship and loyalty. It symbolized love, acceptance, and blessing. And it was an unspoken mark of respect that just conveyed peace and grace. The anointing of oil was to show hospitality to an honored guest, and it reflected honor and respect. So the oil was poured onto the honored guest's head or feet, and it refreshed them from travel, as you can imagine. It would have been hot and sticky, and this anointing oil carried a fragrance with it that would have been noticed, that you are our honored guest, you are welcome here. And that person would have been held in esteem. All these things were missed at Simon's home. Meanwhile, the important men reclined. And I did look at some pictures and things for this. But if you can imagine these men in their robes, just laid back. They were eating their fruit, eating their food, eating their things. And they were all just watching to see what Jesus would do. Simon in the middle of them all, talking and having conversations about everything that was going on, current in the times that they lived in. When this lady, this sinful woman, enters the room, I can only imagine Simon's face of complete disgust. Because he knew this woman. She had a reputation. She was completely uninvited. And how she entered the building, we're not quite told. But there was a feast going on. There were servants running about. Simon would have been providing the very best for these Pharisees. And this lady would have been able to slip by unnoticed. So she gained access through sheer determination that she was going to go and see Jesus. She was not going to miss this person that she was holding in such high esteem. The shock on Simon's face when she entered must have been immense. What is she doing here? What is going on? Under no circumstances would this sinful, immoral woman been allowed to enter his house. But he knew, Simon knew, of her scandalous reputation and her sinfulness. He would have been horrified that this happened in his home where people were reclining and having such a lovely evening. And now, to make things worse, she not only entered the house, but she was approaching his guest. She was approaching Jesus. And it says in our passage in verse 39 that Simon thought these thoughts in his head. There's no way she'll be going near Jesus. He's bound to know. If he says who he is, he'll never let her go near such a sinful person. Pharisees mixing with a sinner like this, not a chance. It'll not happen. How could this be happening in his home? All eyes on Jesus to see his reaction, no doubt. So this room of guests would have been sitting, watching to see what was going to play out. And all the while, Simon watches on in silence, consumed by disgust, no doubt, and what others would say and what they would think of him. But he completely misses the character of Jesus, the character of Jesus that shows love and mercy and grace and compassion to everyone. So the sinful woman, as she's called, simply stands behind Jesus and she weeps. The men look on in disbelief. She's even in the house, watching all the time to see how it plays out, most likely murmuring and discussing, what's he doing? What's he going to do? Keep watching this. Watch this face. How horrific and unclean the whole thing is to them. Immoral, sinful woman attempting to approach Jesus. She kneels before him. She wets his feet with her tears. And she wipes them with her hair and anoints them with the fragrant oil that would have more than likely cost her more than a year's wages. And at this point, it was probably believed that she had already begun her road to forgiveness with Jesus. She had probably left her former lifestyle behind her. She had maybe heard Jesus speaking to a crowd of people in the background, sitting somewhere quiet and lowly. And she's heard his words of repentance. She's heard him say, come to me, I will take your sins. Come to me, I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you peace. Come to me, I can give you all these things. And she has probably heard these words and thought, that's for me. That's what I want. And she has probably taken this step towards changing her life because she credited Jesus for her repentance. She desired wholeheartedly to express her love and her heartfelt thanks to the one who made all this possible, this peace that she was feeling. She would have known she could never repay or equal what Jesus had done for her. So she gave her most valuable physical possession. She gave her most valuable time. She gave her most valuable person. And Jesus saw that attitude. He saw her sorrow and her repentance and knew she was genuine, and he accepted her. Because she'd most likely heard him say, I will give you peace. I will give you rest. I can forgive you. It does not matter what you have done. So she has followed and repented. She took his words to heart and she acted on them. And through her tears, she demonstrated a broken and contrite heart. And we read about that in Psalm 51 and 17. She gave her very all. She followed her heart. She left her brokenness and she boldly worshipped Jesus with her tears and with the oil and the love that she poured out of him, the very best that she could give in her own and humble way. Simon, observing all this, shocked at how Jesus could let this happen, this immoral woman, because of their pride of separating themselves, the Pharisees, from the unclean and the sinful. And this woman was definitely both in his eyes. And instead of Simon appreciating what the woman was doing and looking to understand her motivation in doing it, his thoughts were dark and negative. He quietly thought to himself how wrong this situation was. And at this point, I wonder, was he tinged with guilt? You know, because this woman had humbled herself before Jesus. She had provided everything that Simon had not. She had provided the tears to wash his feet, the oil to anoint him with, and the kiss of love and respect. And Simon hadn't done any of this to his distinguished guest. So was he feeling, I should have done that? Perhaps it was just easier for him to judge her along with the way the others were judging her. But Jesus, already knowing the thoughts of all around him, not just Simon, told Simon and the Pharisees a brief parable to explain to him. And the parable, as we read, was basically, there were two debtors, one owed much, one owed little. But they couldn't repay, so the banker decided to forgive both, cancel the debt. So he showed mercy and forgave both, cancelled both debts. And then the question from Jesus to Simon, who do you suppose the banker loved more after that? And he answered rightly. He said the one with the larger debt. And we read that in verse 43, which I'm just going to read again. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And he said, you've judged rightly. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he tells her that her sins are forgiven. Jesus spoke in clear, concise language. He didn't use anything grand. He just left them in no doubt of all the things that Simon should have done as a host, and that she did, and much more lavishly. She had shown Jesus much more appreciation, respect and gratitude than Simon had, and she left him learning from his example. Her sins were forgiven, though they were many. Simon the Pharisee had been revolted by the woman entering his home, her sinfulness and poor reputation. But Jesus accepted her with love, allowing her to touch, to kiss, and to anoint him. Hers was the debt that was massive. Hers were the tears that showed an expression of love and repentance, and Jesus openly forgave her all. She poured out her love with an extravagant, passionate expression of love. Simon couldn't comprehend this because he missed the purpose of Jesus. He was so wrapped up in his own self-importance and his own being to be looking to see as doing the right thing that he totally missed Jesus in everything that happened. He missed the precious time he could have had just sitting with Jesus, listening and learning, being close to someone who loves and knows all, who would have undoubtedly had words of love and encouragement. They would have had time to spend together and talk, have his life filled with hope, with joy, with peace, with letting go. But he missed that golden opportunity. So what do we learn from this woman of Bethany? Firstly, let's not miss Jesus like Simon did. Let's not just save our worship for a Sunday. Let's live our lives for Jesus daily as an offering. This woman wasn't invited as a guest to dinner, but she didn't let that stop her worshiping Jesus. She risked ridicule and rejection, unkindness and gossip. But for her, she was all out to bring her everything, no matter what the cost. She allowed herself to be vulnerable and to not hold back. She openly worshipped in how she felt she should. She put aside her worries about what others would think, and she fell at Jesus' feet, quite literally, the one who forgives all. Desperation drove her to Jesus' feet. That job was for the least of the least, and she put herself in that position. She had much to forgive, but was totally forgiven, and she followed her heart's desire. She heard Jesus' words, as we read in the Bible. And how do we hear Jesus' words? How do we follow that through? How do we listen to him? How do we approach Jesus in our daily lives? How do we offer our utmost? How do we give our all? Because we all have much forgiven as well. Secondly, the sinful woman had one chance to come to Jesus. She knew he was at the Pharisee's house, and she took her chance and went to the house, completely uninvited, but determined to see Jesus and worship him. Nothing would deter her that day from taking her chance to being close to the miracle worker, and she fully expected to see him. She was prepared. So she did. She took her chance, and we read about her once in the Bible, and we can only hope that she went on and she had that life, and her life was an example to others. But she acted on what she had heard. And so many times in church we hear the sermon. It's a great sermon. It's good, this. But how do we carry it through to the following week? How do we live that out? And we heard even this morning, how are we going to live that out? Who are we actually going to tell? Who are we going to speak to this week? And not just do the kind act of opening the door, of doing something kind. How are we actually going to worship Jesus and actually tell somebody about his love. This sinful woman was not going to miss Jesus. She humbled herself, set aside pride and worry of others' opinions. She entered the house with bravery. So how do we use our time wisely as well? Do we make up excuses of, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I haven't seen that last episode of what I want to watch? How do we use our time and focus our eyes on Jesus? Thirdly, she was prepared with her box of oil. She knew what she was going to do. But how prepared are we? How prepared are we that if Jesus did come back, how prepared are we that we'd be ready to go? How prepared are we that we can drop everything and just stop and take time with him? And as JT had said this morning even, when is the last time that we actually did spend that time purposefully as well to talk, even with other Christians? Who are we accountable to? Who is it that we can go to? Is it life groups? Is it how we build each other up, how we encourage each other to keep going, and just to look at our own lives and live them as an example? So are we prepared enough, just as a sinful woman was, that if Jesus was to return right now, we'd be ready to go and meet him? If we breathed our last breath, we'd open our eyes and see Jesus and worship him just as she did. In our lives, we will miss opportunities. We are only human. We get it wrong. But where we can, to try and do our best to set our eyes on him, to look at his example, to love each other with godly love, to encourage each other, build each other up, and take every opportunity to worship with the same gratefulness that the sinful woman did. So to learn from her actions, just like Simon learned from her, to follow Jesus, to worship him in a way that feels good and right to you, that is God-centered, to spend time with him, and to tell others about him, and not to miss that opportunity. And just to close with, I was thinking about how to close. I actually made Phil read that last paragraph. But in closing, most of you know that we are going to go and see Andy, not this Sunday, but next. And for those of you who don't know, Andy moved, our middle son moved to Canada. And I miss him, definitely. Especially on days like this, whenever you miss that wee person coming down the stairs. And you know, you think about him all the time. Sometimes I see somebody that looks like him standing in a football kit, and I think, oh, his wee head's like my Andy. And you find yourself thinking about him and missing him. And it's the little things. We've never had as many Cocoa Pops. He must have been the one that was eating them. But in 2 weeks' time exactly, we will be going to an airport. And as soon as I see his wee face, he is going to have the biggest hug of his life, him and Kiva. Because when you miss somebody, you look for them. You just want to see their face. And is that not how we should be looking for Jesus? You know, how much we want to see his face. How much we want to see this wee family sitting in front of me now, this family and body of people. How much we want to see Jesus' face. How much we can give to our community. How much we have to offer. Let's not miss Jesus. Let's focus on him. Let's build each other up. Let's love each other. And let's not miss any chance at all that we have just to say to him with the same thankfulness how much we love him. How much we are thankful for absolutely everything that he has done for us. Let's just not miss Jesus. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.